Well, as I said before, you're on the road to the resurrection. How many people grew up with some definition of Lent? Hey, many of us, okay? And I'll never forget 28 plus years ago when I stepped here into the sanctuary, and as somebody just off the street searching for a spiritual home, and the minister up here said, Lent, let's eliminate negative thinking. And I remember going, what? That was so foreign to the way I was raised. And the preparation to the resurrection was all about suffering. For me as a child, this was what I grew up with. Lent was about giving up something. And what I love in Unity is it's not so much about giving up something, it's about what do you want to do to bring to you. Now, in Unity, we have this thing. I don't know, maybe I want to start with this. Because I do find it interesting that Yenny's going to give us an intro to this 9-day cleanse, right? And I want to find out more about that after church. And then when I saw her flyer come through, it was like, I'm going to charge you all with a 40-day, not cleanse, but a 40-day challenge. Now, here's how I love Spirit. That this morning, I actually went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 through the calendar. And do you know, if you start tomorrow on my 40-day challenge that I'm about to go through with you, that the Saturday before Easter is 40 days. Isn't that wonderful how Spirit works? Now, it's not like in the Catholic Church where you got to take Sundays off. Okay, because on Sundays, if you gave up candy, you were allowed to eat candy. Anybody remember that? It's not like that. So this is 40 straight days that I'm going to challenge you on something. And in Unity, we have a thing called denial and affirmation. Now, you may have heard those words. Many of you may understand what that is. It's a form of praying. It is the way we look at it is Myrtle Fillmore's famous prayer of healing herself from tuberculosis was, I am a perfect child of God, therefore I cannot inherit illness. Her affirmation, part of that, denial and affirmation was, I am a perfect child of God. She affirmed that. Her denial part of the prayer was, therefore I cannot inherit illness. Unity says that we really encourage you to deny whatever it is that's in front of you that is not working for you in your life. Now, this is not denial like the river in Egypt. I'm not telling you deny the truth of something, okay? So in the case that I get diagnosed with the flu, I'm not. But if I were to get diagnosed with the flu, I'm not going to deny that diagnosis. But I am going to create a prayer that denies the power of that diagnosis over me. Then I'm going to affirm the truth that I am perfect, healthy. Every little cell in my body is happy and strong. Does that make sense? About denial and affirmation, okay? So it's not denying the statement or the diagnosis. It is denying the power. And that's what Myrtle Fillmore did. She denied the power of that diagnosis. So this is how we really, and your chaplains, really will pray with you. And in denying that it has power over you, whatever it is that you're coming to prayer for, that we go beyond that to the spiritual truth. So Unity came up with a pamphlet this year. It is a little booklet. Now, these booklets are in the back in the sanctuary. I encourage you, please take one per family. If we run out, or if you are a person that loves digital, or you want paper, all you have to do is go to unity.org. Write this down if you want They offer these booklets, various booklets all year long, unity.org. Click on publications, and there is all their booklets. And you just click on it, give your name and address, and they'll send it to you for free. Yes, my favorite four-letter F word. Free. Free. I said free. Is that on the recording, Adam? I said free. This is a powerful one for Lent on the road to resurrection. It's fasting and feasting. Okay? That is the same thing as denials and affirmation. Okay? This little booklet is encouraging us to fast from negative thoughts, fast from things that don't serve us, and at the same time, feast on what does work for you. Because if you fast from something negative out there and you don't claim the feast, then the universe is left up to randomness, and Lord knows what you'll get. So you want to be intentional with this process. So I'm going to charge you, if you're open to it, to do a 40-day challenge on feasting and fasting. I'm going to reverse that because I want you to fast first and then feast. Am I making sense here? Okay. So you're going to fast from what it is that you want to release. Okay, and you're going to feast on what you want to draw towards you. Okay, 40 days. So we're going to have a blast getting to the road, getting to the resurrection. So we're going to have 40 days together to journey on the road to your resurrection. I was talking with someone that's becoming a new acquaintance of mine, and his name is Mark, and he was saying to me about, you know, sometimes he likes winter because, you know, we think there's not much going on out there, but there's a lot going on out there in nature, isn't there? And next week I'll be showing you a video to remind you of that. But it's just like us, and this is why this journey to Easter, to the Easter story, is so exciting to me because we are just like Mother Nature right now. We are underground and we are like this seed that's just ready to burst through. But a seed isn't going to burst through unless what? You cultivate it, right? Got to give it good soil and you've got to water it. And that's the same with each and every one of us and our spiritual nature. We've got to put it in fertile soil and we've got to nurture it. So it might not look like a lot's going on right now, but a lot's going on right now. So let's start with that first one. Put that down here. So, first challenge, you're going to really want to get this booklet because it's going to help you unless you want to take a lot of notes today. Okay, your first challenge is to fast from insecurities. What are insecurities? Insecurities are what we did in the meditation. Insecurities are the opposite of what we did in meditation. Insecurities are the voice that says, I'm not enough. The voice that says, it's negative self-talk. That's insecurities. It's based on a lot of comparing ourselves to someone else. Think about it. That's the root of almost all insecurities. We're comparing ourselves. And I love that because it says insecurities are loud because they are, aren't they? Oh boy, there's an inner voice going on all the time to tell us and remind us how we're not enough. Confidence is silent. Let's see that next one. Confidence isn't walking into a room thinking you are better than everyone. It's walking in not having to compare yourself to anyone at all. Know people like that? Yes. And when you can do that, it's powerful. I'm telling you that from my own experience. There are many days now, many more days when I feel confident and not so much insecure. Do I still feel insecure at times? Heck yes, I do. Yes. Put me in a room full of ministers with my peers. I move into insecurity really fast. Isn't that funny why we do that with our peers? But we do. It is when you can fast. So fast on insecurities, feast on confidence. Moses was a great one for this story. If you remember Moses, when God came to Moses, God called Moses, right? And he said, I want you to lead my people. Now, if you know anything about Moses, Moses had very low self-esteem. He was very insecure. He had a lisp. And what did he say to God when God said, I want you to lead my people? He said, oh, no, not me. Please, I don't talk very well. I think you should pick my brother Aaron because he is an orator. He speaks so fluently. Please, not me. It's a perfect story of what do we do when somebody gives us a compliment? First thing is, oh, no, not me. Oh, this plain old sweater, right? Or, oh, I love your hair. Oh, well, I just had a good hair day today. You know, we deflect it, don't we? Why? That's what Moses was doing. He was being called to lead the people, and he was like, no, not me. I'm not enough. That story is about you and me. Whether it really happened or not, I'm just telling you, these stories in the Bible are lessons for us on how to live our life. And this is a great story about confidence versus insecurity. Let's go to the next one. So you've got day one, fast from insecurities. Day two is feast on confidence. Day three, we're going to feast from what? Oh, this is Kathy's struggle. Distractions. Oh, distractions. Yes. I was sitting waiting to come out here to do my talk, right? And Barb Frederick came to get me in my room where I kind of hide out, right? But where I hide out, I have a perfect view of the parking lot, right? And it has a mini blind, and I have it open. And I'm like, and Barb's sitting over there. And I'm like, oh, look who's coming today. Oh, I wonder who that is that they're walking with. She's like, you're getting distracted. I said, I know, but it's so much fun being in this seat. She goes, you're supposed to be studying. I'm like, oh, look who else is here. I got it. I really do have it. It drives me crazy. Being in the moment means not being distracted by the melodrama and hysteria around you. Present moment awareness allows solutions to emerge. Oh boy, distractions remove me from the present. And then I miss enjoying the moment. Anybody relate to that? It's a biggie. So there we go, day three. Fasting from distractions. Day four. Being fully present. That's feasting on being fully present. Are you starting to get the flow of this now? You're going to fast from something that doesn't serve you. You're going to feast on something that does serve you. Isn't that a great picture? Your greatest gift to your family and friends is yourself. Your relaxed, happy, and fully present self. I'm going to tell you, last night I took my kids to Michael's play up in Springfield, Ohio. And so Miles is 5. And the play started at 7, but he had a full day with his mom, and they did a lot of things. So by the time I got him, he's tired, right? So the play starts at 7. By 7:15, Miles is like, Grandma, can I sit on your lap? By 7:30, he's leaning against me, and he's going down. I can tell he's going down. And he looks up at me, and he goes, you feel just like my mama. Oh my God. Is that what every grandma wants to hear? Oh my God. But it was because I was in the moment, people. I wasn't worried about anything around me. I wasn't worried where Mia was and what she was doing. I was right there just with him in that moment. And how many, I thought about the whole ride home thinking, how many moments I miss because I'm so multitasking in my mind and I'm missing moments. So day 4, feasting on the present moment. All right, day 5, fast from loneliness. This is good. Loneliness expresses the pain of being alone, and solitude expresses the glory of being alone. Difference, isn't there? I know for me, I was just talking with Amy's mom yesterday. We both were like, oh, we love just going somewhere where we can just sit with a good book and just be by ourselves, right? Okay, that's good. That's healthy. But loneliness is different. Thoughts of loneliness are not true. And I'm going to read this part here because I think it really is important. I fast from loneliness. As I notice my thoughts of loneliness, I know they are not the truth. I choose to release any ideas of disconnection from anyone in my life, including myself. I fast from ruminating over the reasons why I might feel excluded from the love of others. I let go of the need to control my relationships, and I willingly forgive all hurts that have led me to embrace the false belief of aloneness. I give no power to ideas that keep me separate from others. I am free from old beliefs and that have limited my ability to recognize our shared humanity and community. This is why we crave connection with like-minded people, isn't it? It's so important. And loneliness is when I like to call it, Michael and I call it, you know, we're looping. We're looping the story. We're looping the reason why they left or the reason why our family's not speaking to us anymore. And we want to just keep looping that story over and over, and then we get more lonely, more isolated. Anybody else have that tendency when something goes awry? It's really very important. So day 5, fast from loneliness. Day 6, feast on connection. Feast on connection. I'm going to read these because this is what we're going through. We are going to go through 6 days today. So we've hit on all 6. I feast on connection. Rather than waiting for an invitation, I take the initiative to call a friend I have been missing and make plans to enjoy a meal together. I may venture out to a new class or a community event where I can relate to others who enjoy my shared interests. I thought about, well, why do we all come together on a Sunday, right? Why do you get up and come? So easy to stay in our jammies, isn't it? I have to be here. I work here. But guess what? I didn't work here for 20 years, and I came here as often as I could because I wanted this connection, right? So, I thrive in loving universe that provides my every need, including my need for unity with others. As I walk in a conscious onenessness, I feast on connection, and I am at peace. Brené Brown and Oprah put together like a minute, less than 2-minute video, and I'd like to share that right now.
This book is like it was written, Rising Strong, great title, by the way.
Thank you.
Is like it was written for our audience because you actually believe that the ability to rise and rise strongly is a spiritual practice.
I do. You know, when I talk about spirituality, one of the definitions I put forward in my work is that spirituality is this deeply held belief that we're inextricably connected to each other by something greater than us. And that something greater is rooted in love and belonging. Some of us, I call that God. Some of it call, you know, some people call it nature, the universe, the source, the higher power. And so to me, it's about the big key piece is that inextricably connected. Mm-hmm. Like, we will never be able to free ourselves from suffering until we're all free from suffering, which makes it our job to do something about it.
That's a tweet of war. We will never be able to be free from suffering until we're all free.
We're all free.
Because we're all tied
to each other.
You know, I don't think people really fully get that, though. I mean, I've been saying that for all the years that I've been talking on television, on radio, in magazines, but I don't think we understand how we are. Can you actually explain that? How are we all tied?
I think it goes back to the spirituality. I think we are all tied together because our humanness brings us together. So if there is suffering in the Middle East, if there's suffering in Africa, if there's suffering in Asia, my freedom, my humanity is tied to that suffering. So to pretend like my only concern is what's right in front of me makes irrelevant our shared humanity.
That's a powerful statement that she just made. That we crave connection, don't we? How are we going to do these 40 days, people? They all sound good, don't they? Yeah, I gave you a lot of fasting and feasting. I saw a lot of heads shaking. All seems to make sense. But when we leave here today, how are you going to do it? Well, I'll tell you, Unity has a great roadmap, and it's called the 12 powers. The 12 powers are innate gifts that Charles Fillmore came up with. So likened somewhat to, you know, in Reiki, we have our spiritual centers, right? We have spiritual energy centers. Well, Charles Fillmore took that a little bit further, and actually Science of Mind literally had 12 jewels. Charles Fillmore tagged off of that Science of Mind 12 jewels and then created the 12 spiritual powers in man. This is a toolbox on how can you do this? How can you fast from this? It's faith. It's going to take spiritual faith. It's going to take spiritual strength. Not this kind of strength, but this kind of strength. This is strength. Closing your mouth. Not responding. Breathing. It's the pause. Pray. Then proceed. That's the strength. We're going to go through. I'm going to be incorporating these 12 powers over these 40-day challenge. Okay? Wed through love. Who doesn't, right? Get your love center out there. Not revenge center. Love center, okay? Imagination. Through the power of imagination, that's how you use affirmative prayer. So, I've cut my arm, okay? The real thing is my arm is bleeding, right? I have a bad cut and I have to get stitches, okay? But through my power of imagination, I can help my body heal by telling it my cells are moving into right action and healing and clotting exactly how they're supposed to be. That quick. That's how quick you can do something like this, is affirm the good. Affirm what you do want. Power. Again, we're not talking this kind of power. We're talking the spiritual power within each and every one of us. You innately have these 12 powers. You were born with them. Understanding. Understanding is standing over all of this, right? Under. You are standing under everything, under and over, to have an understanding, a deeper understanding, so that when I read somebody's Facebook post and it's hurtful, I need to move to having a higher understanding of them. Read beyond appearances, okay? Just because they made a negative post doesn't mean that I still don't love and care for them. People, we are being called to this year, big time. to have an understanding, because what's being perceived out there in the world is divisiveness. And so how you feel about a certain subject makes me decide whether I'm still your friend or not. When did that happen? I can't know the exact date, but I just know that that's where our world is, and we've got to help make that change. And we do that by having a spiritual understanding. Wisdom, will, what do we got? Order, release, zeal, life. These are all powers that can help us do this 40-day challenge. Now you have myself, you have Reverend Tom, you have Reverend Sandy back there. You have chaplains who are educated on these things. Go to us. If this is a struggle, or like, I don't get what Kathy's talking about, I don't think I'm going to come here till Easter. This is too hard, right? Come to us, because there is power in learning and understanding these principles of truth to give you a freer life, so that on Easter you are ready to roll away the stone and resurrect to a new life. That's what Easter's all about. It is not about putting yourself on the cross anymore. We all do that very well. Easter is about taking yourself off the cross. It's time. It's time. And take your neighbor off the cross. And I got to take my sister off the cross, because she is hoarding all kinds of stuff. She called me to tell me, if this coronavirus gets bad, you can come to Florida because I've got everything stockpiled already. So I got to take her off my envisioned cross, right? This is how we heal the world. We have a weekly affirmation. Let's put it up on the screen and let's say it together. And I want to say it twice, because I want to hear that second time. I want to hear you really feel it. For first time, I am fasting from negative thoughts and behaviors. I am feasting on... Let's really mean it. I am fasting from negative thoughts and behaviors. I am feasting on gratitude. Namaste. That Christ's presence in me, which is full of gratitude, truly sees and feels gratitude and sees the Christ presence. In each and every one of you, namaste.